Chapter 15. Grey Shield. Captain Felix had considered taking off his armour before he went to see his erstwhile comrades. He disliked the distance the unmarked Ultima on his shoulder pad put between him and the others. In the end, however, he kept his battle plate on. He was an Ultramarine now. He should not dishonour that, even if he did not yet feel fully part of the chapter. His cobalt blue was the same shade as the older Ultramarines in the fleet, but he was bigger than his new brothers, stronger and more capable. The differences extended from the iradial walls that marked his hands to the extra organs deep within his brain. Physically, Felix was closer to the Primarchs than any of the generations of Space Marines who had fought and died for the Imperium before him. His battle plate further set him apart. Aggressor power armor was more sophisticated than any comparable rating of battle plate in the Ultramarine's armory. A heavy gorget projected from the breastplate, guarding his vulnerable neck. Cowling covered his helmet. The reactor was larger to support the more powerful subsystems, its built-in power field, and the armor's sophisticated cogitator and sensorium suite. Although slightly less resistant to fire than Terminator plate, the heavy armor worn by the Ultramarine's existing veterans was the only thing that approached aggressor armor's capabilities, and Felix was far more nimble than warriors in tactical dreadnought armor. Felix was glad there were hundreds of other Primaris Ultramarines in the Crusade. He could imagine how strange it must be for those of the unnumbered sons who had been assigned to existing chapters in Dribs and Drabs. Being the Primarch's equerry was an honour heavy with many burdens. "And they shall know no fear," the Emperor's commandment to his Space Marines echoed down the millennia to the present day, and generally, a Space Marine was afraid of nothing. However, being fearless did not stop Captain Felix from worrying. The crux of it was that Felix had already been admitted formally into the Ultramarines, though he had no company of his own to command officially. Gilliman's earlier equerries had gone on to do great deeds as captains and masters of many chapters, but only after leaving Gilliman's personal service and receiving orders of assignment. That path was not open to Felix. His swift induction to the Primarch's own chapter had been odd. There were a number of reasons why Gilliman had chosen Primaris warriors as equerries over more experienced Space Marines. The first, Felix surmised, was that the Primarch wanted to show that the Primaris represented the new Space Marine paradigm. The second, and this was no theoretical, as the Primarch had told him so, was that the Primaris Space Marines lacked political experience. Gilliman placed great import on non-combat skills. To him, statesmanship was as important as warcraft. Archmagos Call's prolonged hypno-indoctrination had given the Primaris Space Marines none of that, so the Primarch appointed many of their number into important but non-crucial roles as aides to various adepta or as assistants to established Space Marine officers, and that included those he took as his own equerry. Gilliman changed the holders of these offices frequently to help disseminate the experience that the Primaris Space Marines gained in his direct service. He took on only those who showed exceptional promise, and afterwards they were given permanent positions of grave responsibility. Felix was honoured to have been so chosen, and he strove daily to live up to the Primarch's faith in him. Thirdly, Felix reasoned, the Primarch wanted to observe his new warriors at close hand. The Primaris Space Marines had been created at Gilliman's behest, but they were creatures made by Call. If he were Rabute Gilliman, Felix would not have trusted the Archmagos either. None of this was what worried Felix. It was logical, rational, and completely in line with the Primarch's preference for long-term planning. But there was a fourth reason in Felix's hypothesizing, and it was this last one that troubled him. Felix had been born on Laphis, not long after the end of the Great Heresy War. He remembered his childhood better than any of his peers appeared to, and that meant he recalled the Imperium as had been long ago, when there was still hope. He remembered old Ultramar, the Imperial truth, and the rekindling of optimism as the threat of Horus receded. He had been 13 years old and ready to join the Legion as a neophyte when Call's representatives had come calling, bearing the highest seals of all. And Felix had had one future taken away and this nightmare substituted in its stead. But he had kept all of his past through millennia of stasis. He had forgotten nothing. The past was what Gilliman wanted from him. The Primarch often spoke of those times. Felix struggled to see Gilliman as wistful. He was too matter-of-fact a being for that, but it was plain that he harbored nostalgic tendencies. The fourth theoretical worried Felix because it suggested that the Primarch was perhaps lonely. If he were, then he was all too human. Seeing Gilliman as a man perturbed Felix. The Imperium needed someone above humanity to lead them, not a man with a man's faults. In Felix's theorizing, Gilliman had made Felix an ultramarine earlier than he had with any of his other equerries, because Felix remembered. It could have been that Felix was intended to perform important duties within the ultramarines at some later date, but they were the most glorious of chapters, and that line of reasoning skirted dangerously close to arrogance. Felix was a humble man. The lonely demigod. The thought made Felix's spine shiver. His somewhat maudlin thoughts passed as the lighter he was aboard approached the Rudensis' small port hangar. The ship passed through the atmospheric field and into a space busy with servitors. Felix was seized by an impatience to disembark before the lighter had even settled into its landing gear. Felix could recite the Rudensis' specifications without thinking. He knew exactly how to use it in battle. It was a ship to fire the heart of any who appreciated the art of void war. But its utility and grace could not explain the deep significance it held for him. Felix loved the Rudens because it had been his home. Before Gilliman had called upon Felix, the Rudens had been his to command, and the men aboard it were as close to family as he would ever know. As soon as the lighter's landing lumens changed to green, Felix was out of the door and heading into the ship towards the barracks. Though Gilliman prized Felix for his memories of the times before, the ones he had of the Rudens were most precious. He had not been back to Laphis. If he were honest, he had no desire to. He had heard it had become a shrine world, and its wide prairies encrusted with cathedra and temples to the Emperor, who the people of this time worshipped as a god. The thought of seeing his home so changed by a foreign ideology saddened him. Perhaps he was like the Primarch, homesick for something that no longer existed. Everyone needed something stable in their lives, some shared purpose and origin. Let the Primarch turn to him. Felix would turn to his brothers. He had that, for a few more weeks at least. The familiar sights and smells of the ship mellowed his sadness into a sweeter melancholy. As he thought, he let his feet lead him from the portside hangar up towards the spinal way. When he emerged into its avenue, his spirits lifted further. Every part of the ship was familiar to him. The companionways, which clung to the sides of the corridor, the regularly repeated stamp of the Machina Opus on the bulkheads, the massive blast door housings, the way the starlight slanted in through the spinal way's high armoured glass windows. The ship was small enough that the footings of its dorsal fortresses projected into the spinal way as large plasteel cubes, their lower levels joined together by catwalks and sealed ammunition tubes. A figure shrunken by perspective was moving across the network up there, like an arachnid in its web. Small was a relative term regarding Imperial voidcraft. The spinal way was 15 meters wide and almost three times as tall. Compared to the Macragge's Honor, the Rudens was a minnow, but it was still large enough to get lost in. Felix laughed at himself. Who was he to fret over Gilliman's yearning for the past when he was becoming overly sentimental himself? Why else would he be there, on his way to deliver orders that could have been sent by a simple data squirt? What was he doing? Did he crave his brother's approval? Did he wish to impress them, to remind them he was still part of their fraternity? Did he fear that he was not? He was no longer a grey shield, of course. Not anymore. He missed that. He missed them. The others would miss it too. Now it was over. The spinal way ended abruptly, narrowing to a steep funnel. The funnel further split into three separate corridors and two flights of stairs that led into the maze of holds, stores and generatoria that sat forward of the engineerium and the thrumming reactor heart of the ship. The leftmost corridor led him towards the Space Marines' accommodation. The Primaris armories were that way, as were the training rooms and the small apothecarium, sited amidships, safely away from the hull. The equipment required for a demi-company occupied a lot of room. He passed a garage where five repulsor grav tanks waited in silence, bolted down to the floor around the gaping shaft of a vehicle elevator. He rounded a corner and heard voices. There were warriors in the refectorum, though not all of them were there. He quickened his pace. His augmented hearing identified the gruff laughter of Bjarni Arvidsson, and there were three others in there at least. He heard Justinian Paris speak, and Bjarni laugh again. Then came the quiet voice of Khalil, genekin of the lion. As he neared, their words became more distinct, and he eavesdropped on their conversation. There were sounds indicating perhaps six more of his brothers, their low conversation muffled by the hard metallic sounds of weapons being taken apart and cleaned. He was almost 60 meters from the refectorum. As he approached, a Primaris space marine in a day robe emerged from a side room, carrying a dented vambrace and a tool roll. His eyes rose in surprise.
"Brother Captain," he said. "Solace," said Felix.
He halted before his old comrade, and the two of them clasped arms. Felix reached up and disengaged his helm, lifted it over his head, and tucked it into the crook of his elbow. Laphis was further out from the Crag Star than the capital world, but the skies were thin and the sun burned easily. Felix's skin was light brown, his hair black. It was long for a space marine, its fringe swept over light grey eyes that conveyed an impression of utmost seriousness. Solus was of Sanguinius's line and was as pale and beautiful as his gene lord had reputedly been. His eyes were a colourless blue. Though the unnumbered sons wore armour coloured the same as the first founding chapters they were kin with, their day robes were grey. Solus, however, had dyed his red when Felix had been aboard, in honour of Sanguinius.
"To what do we owe this pleasure?" asked Solus.
"The pleasure is mine, my brother," said Felix.
Solus gave him a quizzical look. His lips parted, showing sharp eye teeth.
"You seem distracted," Felix smiled.
"It is good to see you."
"That means you have bad news," said Solus. "I can see it, brother."
"Am I really that transparent?"
"I do not need to be of the Librarius to read your face, Felix. You are not a man who dissembles well."
Felix reached out and grasped Solus's shoulder.
"The news is both good and bad, my friend. Good and bad. Come, I will share it with all of you. You deserve to hear it from me. It is the least I can do."
There was a horrendous crash, and a roar of laughter went up from the refectorum, most of it Bjarni's feral bellow.
"Do I have to say that half of them are in there?" said Solus. "I hear them, though Bjarni Arvidsson makes the noise of 10 men. It is good. I want to speak with them all." "Then I shall fetch the others. I will spread the word, Captain." "Is Lieutenant Sarkis on board?" asked Felix.
"He is in the Armorium."
"Tinkering with his battle plate again."
"What else?"
said Solus.
"I shall fetch him first."
Solus hurried away. Felix stalked down the corridor. The refectorum door was closed, but not latched, and he pushed it open stealthily. He looked inside. His mind flooded with memories. 20 space marines were dotted around the long tables filling the room. None of them noticed him stood there. Oilcloths were spread out before them, the components of weapons laid out for cleaning, and they were engrossed in their work. The place smelled of men, gun oil, lapping powder, and yesterday's nutrient gruel. Regulations said they should not undertake such work in the eating area, but they gathered there because there was nowhere else of size besides the training ground to congregate. The Armorium was out of the question. That was small, and Lieutenant Sarkis's pet projects had overtaken the space even in Felix's time. It had got worse since Sarkis had taken command. Though the unnumbered sons were formed into temporary chapters of their own kind, Gilliman had decreed that they spend time fighting in mixed squads in order that the differing gene lines would learn each other's strengths and how to best work together. As more of the unnumbered sons had been assigned to their permanent homes, and their numbers in the crusade decreased, each rotation had been longer, and Felix's demi-company had been fighting together for the better part of a decade. Most of the Primaris Space Marines present were of Rabute Gilliman's line. Five were not. Bjarni's gene seed obviously came from Lehman Russ, and his skin was covered in faded Fenrisian tribal tattoos. Then there was Aldred and Erstan, who were kin to Dorn, Lai Jian of Chogoris, and Khalil. All, however, were Primaris Space Marines, and that bound them together when their differing heritages might have set them apart. After a century of war, the Primaris Space Marines still seemed new. The Imperium was used to technological stagnancy. The Primaris warriors were shocking, a blasphemy against the holy works of the Emperor Omnissiah to some, a sure sign of the deity's work in the world to others. It was probable, Felix thought, that only the Primarch's presence had prevented the advent of the Primaris Space Marines, sparking yet another war between the Imperium's brawling factions. The less theologically inclined cared only about the Primaris Space Marines' effectiveness in combat. They were bigger and stronger than the older type of Space Marine, and equipped with potent new weapons. There were other, less obvious differences between the two types as well, but though the unseen was more essential to the salvation of the Imperium, when one witnessed the Primaris Space Marines in battle, these deeper differences seemed of lesser importance. Most of the noise in the room came from Bjarni. It was always Bjarni. He was taking aim with a light throwing axe at a stack of empty nutrient cans. The wall behind was scarred by repeated impacts. Khalil was half a meter away, sharpening the teeth of his chainsword, unconcerned by the target practice taking place so close to his face. The others Felix knew well, but none so well as Justinian Paris, who, along with Solus, was his closest friend.
"I will split the third one from the left, second row," said Bjarni, weighing his axe in his hand. "What will you wager?" said a warrior of the line of Gilliman named Ciceron. "Does it matter? I never miss," bragged Bjarni. "You nearly hit me once," said Khalil. "That was a miss." "It was not. I intended to give you a fright, brooding angel," said Bjarni wolfishly. His hair was grey and shaved into a tall mohawk. His beard retained some red, but he appeared older than he was. His nose was crooked from an ancient break. Not all the scars that crisscrossed his body had been won in service. Several he attributed to the attentions of Fenris's notorious wildlife during his childhood.
"You cannot brag without betting, Bjarni," said Justinian. "Come on, put down a bet."
Justinian was typically Macragian in appearance, though he hailed from the hive world of Ardium rather than the capital world itself. He was tall and blonde, with aristocratic features that could have seemed cold had he not smiled so generously.
"I have only my ration of delicious nutrient gruel to offer," said Bjarni. "So who cares?"
"It is the form of the thing," said Felix, speaking up and stepping over the raised lintel of the door. "Honor demands a boast carry a wager."
"Felix!" shouted Bjarni.
A huge grin split his beard. He hurled the axe without looking. It slammed into his designated target, cutting it in two and sending the rest of the stack bouncing off the steel tables around the room. Khalil scowled under his hood as he flicked cans off his work. The men rose from their tables and greeted the captain. Bjarni got there first, flinging his arms around Felix in a bear hug.
"Tell me you have come back to lead us, captain," said the Fenrisian. "Just one more time, eh?"
He slammed Felix on the shoulder pad with his huge fist.
"If only I could. I wish I had been with you during the drop on Raucus."
"My brother,"
said Justinian, taking Felix's armored hand in his own and grasping it hard.
"It has been too long."
"If you're not going to fight with us, why are you here, Felix?" asked Bjarni.
Felix moved into the room as other Primaris Space Marines filtered in, brought there by Solus's tidings. They filled up the long benches. Work was cleared away. Sarkis came through, giving his old commander a nod. The Medusan sat down by Justinian, his face neutral. Sarkis would not approve of Felix sharing his news. When most of the company was assembled, Felix called for quiet. He felt a stranger in his ultramarine's armor, particularly when the majority of those he addressed wore the plain grey hooded robes of the unnumbered suns. When they fought, they did so in a pageant of differing colors, the symbols of their primarchs proud on their shoulders. Only a small number, designating their formation and company, and the grey chevron over their insignia differentiated them from space marines already sworn to a particular chapter. Out of their armor, the gene differences were almost as obvious as the colors of their plate. But they were brothers, in battle and out of it. There were 40 Primaris space marines in the room by the time Felix was ready to speak. Nearly all of Felix's old comrades were there. He knew them all so well. There were also several faces he did not know, transferred in as the dwindling groups of the unnumbered suns were merged. Far more numerous were the faces missing, all the warriors he had known and laughed with since his awakening a century ago. His eidetic memory would never allow him to forget the dead. There had been many mistakes. The Primaris Space Marines had excellent training, but no real combat experience when the Indomitus Crusade began. Many had fallen in the early days. He imagined he saw the faces of those earliest comrades, smiling or grim according to their character, between the living warriors in the room.
"Captain Felix?" prompted Sarkis.
Felix broke out of his memories. The faces of the dead faded.
"I have decided to bring you your new orders myself, my brothers," he said. "The crusade is over. Our brotherhood is at an end. I wish to say farewell to you all. When we reach Macragge, we will likely never see each other again."
He paused, unsure of how to go on.
"I asked the Primarch's permission to tell you personally. He said that I may. So I have your new assignments here."
He opened a pouch on his right thigh and drew out a sheaf of parchments.
"Finally!" roared Bjarni. He grinned. "No offense, brothers." "I do not rejoice," said Justinian quietly. "Brother," said Ciceron, "we have known this was going to happen for a long time. It was inevitable. Times change. We are needed elsewhere so that the fight back might begin."
Felix nodded.
"The Grey Shields have served their purpose. The last few formations of the Unnumbered Suns will be broken up, wherever they are. All of us are to be assigned to other chapters." "I have nothing but the greatest respect for our Lord, but he lacks flexibility," said Khalil, dourly. "He only created our formation to get around his ban on the founding of a new legion. It is clear to me he can no longer continue to defy his own edicts."
"Brother, you go too far," snarled Bjarni.
"I do not criticize him," said Khalil emphatically.
He had a narrow face with a resting expression that radiated suspicion. He was always prying behind the seeming of things, looking for the secret truths beneath.
"What I am saying is that Rabute Gilliman is a general with a penchant for imposing rules, who then has to break them when he finds himself trapped by his own regulations. He is a great hero, but as he is at pains to remind us all, he is no god and is imperfect. That is all I am saying."
He tapped his ear.
"Listen to my words, Brother Bjarni, or does the growling of beasts drown out reason?"
Bjarni ignored the slight and rocked his head.
"He is no Russ, that is sure. Russ had no care for rules." "You should not talk that way about the Primarch," said Felix. "He is not my Primarch," said Khalil. "He is the Primarch," said Felix.
Khalil had always antagonized him. Unlike Bjarni, he could not overlook the son of the lion's attitude.
"You will show him respect. Just because you do not like what I say does not make it untrue.
Is it untrue, Felix? You should know.
Felix had no rejoinder to that.
Legion or not, the Grey Shields shall fight together no more.
Justinian looked at his hands.
We all knew this day would come, but I cannot believe it. Is it not true that our numbers have dwindled as the fight has gone on? Said Khalil. Most of us have new brotherhoods. Those of us remaining in the fleet are, in the main, of Gilliman's line. The gene lines of the other Primarchs are in the minority. There are enough Primaris Adeptus Astartes to replenish the Ultramarines 10 times over.
Khalil picked up a chainsaw tooth and scrutinized it carefully.
Perhaps he does not wish to disband his power base, but moves to openly proclaim a new legion. 10 new chapters of his own gene line. I wonder where they might possibly be stationed. The Ultramarines will remain as they have been since the second founding, Felix said firmly. 1,000 Battle Brothers. There are already numerous chapters derived from his gene line. Many of the Primaris Space Marines will be dispatched to those. They all need rebuilding.
That's all well for you and yours, said Biani,
slapping his hands against a table.
Rabute Gilliman was the architect of the Codex Astartes. My gene father was against it. So far as I know, the Vulca Fenrica still are. Most of my brothers have gone home to Fenris, but I have not. What fate awaits me?
You are an oversight, you barbarian, said Khalil, with a sly smile.
We shall duel, brother Khalil, and then we will see who is the oversight, barked Biani joyfully.
It had always been thus. Khalil baited the wolf constantly. Biani pretended not to notice. Either would gladly die for the other. Felix was baffled why they did not kill each other. Felix's face set as gravely as a memorial stone. Biani's face froze.
Brother?
He held out a script of parchment with Biani's name and number upon it. This was hard, but a leader could not shy away from the most difficult of tasks.
I am sorry, Biani. I know how much returning to Fenris meant to you.
Biani's skin had gone white. His faded tattoos stood out clearly on his cheekbones as he reached for the order script with shaking hands.
Very few of you will be going to your homeworlds, said Felix. I am sorry. I remember how we all spoke of serving with the founding chapters.
It is easy for you to say, said Biani. Who by the Ice Jotun are the Wolfspear?
They are a new chapter, brother, said Felix. The remainder of the Sons of Russ are to remain here, at Raucus. You are to guard the pit.
Biani stared at the order paper.
There will be many battles here, said Felix. You will be a great hero.
The others were coming forward and taking their papers, discussing their new brotherhoods in hushed tones.
Most of you are bound for the Primogenitor chapters, said Felix. Do you not see how important those of the unnumbered sons who remained with the fleet are? You, my brothers, are the very best. Do not take these orders as a rebuke, but as the opposite. The Imperial Regent thinks far ahead. His aim with you, Grey Shields, who remain, was to create a warrior corps who, when divided, would foster good relations between the various gene lines of the Adeptus Astartes. I have come to know the Primarch well. He believes that the divisions between the legions of his brothers contributed to Horus's betrayal, and dog the Imperium still. The arch-traitor was able to divide the legions and their primarchs by using their mistrust as a lever to separate one from the other. They fought together, but rarely understood one another. We have fought together, and we have bled together.
Aye, and we have died together, shouted Biani. And this is my payment.
Many battles, remember that, said Khalil. New sagas, new tales to be told.
Hearing this from his friend, calmed Bjarni somewhat.
We should be glad no matter our destination. A warrior's function is to die well in a good cause, said Aldred.
True, said Felix,
and our cause is the finest of all. We have lived and trained together. We are closer than any mixed brotherhood that has ever been. We have known the glory of combat and the tedium of waiting side by side. We have become friends, despite our differences. Each of us is part of a unit of many brothers, of many kindreds, and we will take the friendships we have forged with us to our new chapters. We will be the sinew that binds the bones of the Imperium together, transcending old boundaries.
Felix turned to the Fenrisian.
Our bonds can never be sundered. You, Bjarni, are born of Fenris and are enhanced with the essence of the Primarch Leman Russ, different and strange to my own heritage. But you will always be my brother, no matter what colors you wear or what name the chapter you belong to bears.
This is troubling, Brother Felix, Bjarni said thoughtfully.
He was quick to rage and quick to laugh, but Bjarni had a deeper side that he hid most of the time.
I yearned to return to Fenris and fight alongside the Rout. Can I ever truly call myself a son of Russ if I do not?
The last of the Primaris Space Marines were filtering into the room, exchanging quick whispers to update the newcomers. Felix handed the remainder of the scripts to Sarkis, who handed them out.
There are many Primaris Space Marines wearing the livery of the Vulcar Fenrica, brother, said Felix. You will be welcomed by them, even if Russ's warrior sons of the older breed remain aloof.
And you will always be welcomed by me. How will the Lords of Ice take it, though? Will I be forever lost, without a home, brotherless, unable to return to Fenris?
You have too large a personality to ever be without friends, said Aldred. I will fight any warrior who says otherwise.
Bjarni and he slapped hands together and gripped them tightly.
And you will never be without brothers either, said Justinian, getting to his feet. Not while one of us still lives.
Justinian had looked at his own orders with perfect equanimity. He had been assigned to the Nova Marines stationed in Ultramar, still the realm of the Primarch, but the Nova Marines were not the Ultramarines. Felix tried to guess Justinian's thoughts, but he could not. When he chose, the man was a fortress, his feelings hidden behind fair walls.
These are sad tidings, said Justinian, but they hold the kernel of the future in them. We have our new brothers to meet and fight with. There is opportunity for glory for us, always, wherever we go, and no matter the livery we wear. I thank Captain Felix for letting us know. I'm sure the Lord Commander was curious to know why he wished to do this. It is a sign of how much Felix cares for us to bear the Primarch's scrutiny.
He gestured at the dispensing machine at the rear of the room.
I wish for something better to toast you with, my brother, but all we have is nutrient gruel.
No ale, said Bjarni, sadly.
No wine, added Khalil. We have each other, said Justinian. For a few weeks more, that is all that matters. We shall fight all the harder for knowing our brothers wage war elsewhere. This is not the end, but the beginning.
Felix nodded. This was the response he was hoping for. He should have kept himself above all this, but the Primarch had proved remarkably amenable to his request, and he needed to say goodbye properly. For all his words, in all likelihood, he would not see any of them again.
To Captain Felix, said Justinian, to our dear friend and brother Decimus. Felix! Felix! Felix!
The others shouted, banging their fists on the tables. They spoke a while of old times, and gradually the company dispersed back to their duties. Felix tarried too long. Realizing he was late to attend the Primarch, he made his farewells. Lieutenant Sarkis caught Felix's arm in his augmetic hand before he left.
Are you sure that was wise, Decimus, performing such a role? Should you have not left it to me? I am sorry that I denied you the opportunity,
Sarkis's skin was wrinkled around his many augmetics. They crinkled further around a metal-toothed smile.
Oh, no. I'm glad you did. You did a far better job of mollifying Bjarni than I would have done. Had I given that news, I would be fighting him right now.
You exaggerate.
Not by much. You have a more human touch than I.
Felix glanced at the bare metal fingers grasping his armor.
Does the Primarch really know you have done this? Asked Sarkis.
He did not seem overly concerned.
Sarkis stared hard at Felix through an eye crafted from living diamond.
You are bold to presume the Primarch's thoughts.
We have become close.
Then I pray it does not bring you trouble.
I can hide nothing from him, replied Felix, but there are some things I cannot keep from my brothers.
There are some things that should be kept, said Sarkis. Remember your position, Felix. I would prefer it if, a century from now, when I call upon the Ultramarines, it is you I deal with, and not some warrior I do not know who has your place owing to your needless emotional attachments.
They locked eyes for a long moment.
Spoken like a Medusan, thought Felix,
but left these words unsaid.
I thank you for your concern, Lieutenant, he said instead.
Sarkis stared at him a moment longer, released him, and departed. As Sarkis's bionic grip left his arm, Felix knew for certain that he would never be returning to the Redents. That part of his life was now over for good.
Fight well, my brothers,
he called to those remaining, holding his fist aloft in salute.
I shall see you again when victory in Ultramar is ours.